All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew out stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. And also cedar trees in abundance. For the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. And I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give him peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. And he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God." Let's pray. Father, again, I ask you this morning, Lord, to give these people the message, Lord, in spite of me this morning. Lord, I pray you'll keep my voice strong and clear. And Lord, I just pray that your word will go out to these folks, Lord, to their hearts. Lord, today I'll hear the words being preached and know that these are your words, Lord, not anybody else's. And Lord, it's your word to them. And Lord, we know that your word never comes back void. Lord, it always has an impact. And Lord, there are some here this morning, no doubt, Lord, that need your encouragement. There are some this morning, Lord, as parents that may be being disappointed. Lord, there may be somebody here that's not saved this morning. But Lord, you know the hearts of men. We don't. And Lord, you know what people need to hear at the right time, and we don't. And so, Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you'll take these words of yours and this message of yours and apply it to the hearts of these people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this chapter here, it's quite obvious that David wants to do a great thing for the Lord. He wanted to build the house of the Lord, the temple. If you remember, the tabernacle was back in the days of Moses when they were in the wilderness, and they traveled around, and it was portable. But the temple was a permanent building. It was like a tabernacle, but it was a building version of it, and it was permanent, and it was to be in Jerusalem. And David was the one who wanted to build this temple for the Lord. Now, if you look back in history in your Bible, you'll find out that it was never commanded of God for anybody to build a temple. It was not even a request of God for anybody to build a temple. It was just something that was put on the heart of David to do for the Lord. And David said, I'm going to build this great, this tremendous, this magnificent temple for the Lord. Now, he doesn't have a call from God to do it. He doesn't have scripture telling him to do it. He just wants to do more for the Lord than what's required of him. He wants to go the extra step. He wants to just do something good for the Lord. How many of you ever just said, I want to do something just for the Lord today? That's what he was wanting to do. And David, he doesn't pray and all of a sudden the temple just appears on the mountain. Instead, David began to stockpile lumber and stones and nails and began to draw up plans. And David just doesn't want to do something big for the Lord, something great just one day. He wants to do a whole lot of little things for the Lord every day that will eventually bring about an accomplishment, this great accomplishment that he has for the Lord. He wants to get this temple built for God. Now, after David began accumulating all this material over years and years of time, the Lord comes to David and he says, I'm not going to let you build this this temple. I'm not going to let you build a house for me. He says, David, you know, some of the things you've done in the past, because of those things, you can't build this temple for me. I'm not going to let you build this temple for me. And so David said, fine, I'll just take everything that I've gathered and I'll just go home and I'll just quit. Is that what David said? That's not what David said. Instead, David said, okay, I'll begin to train my son so that he will not have the past that I had, so that he won't have the record that I have, so that he won't have the stain on his reputation that I have. And I'm going to do everything I can to make it to where one day God could use my son to do for you, Lord, what I couldn't do. Now, that's basically what you're reading. Now, to know, you know what David did? David looked ahead. When the Lord said, I'm not going to let you build this temple, even though David had been preparing to do this for such a long time, he'd been preparing to build this temple and he wanted to do something extra for God, and he was ready to do it. And the Lord says, I'm just not going to let you do that at this time. You've done in the past, you've done this, and you were a man of war and you shed much blood. I'm not going to let you to build this thing. And so David, rather than getting bitter at God, rather than trying to blame other people for the things that had happened, you know what he did? He says, okay, then I'll get Solomon ready. I'll get my son ready. I'll teach him what I need to teach him. You know what he was doing? He was looking ahead. He was looking down the road. Because at the end of the day, you know what he wanted done? He wanted the temple built. Amen? And so what he did is immediately he said, okay, the Lord said, I couldn't do it, so Solomon, come over here. Let me tell you some things. And then it was Solomon that ended up building the temple. Now, so you say, well, how did David look ahead? By the way, that's something that as Christians we need to do more of. Listen, too many Christians are living in the past. Too many of us are looking back and having regrets of things we've done in the past and saying, I wish I'd have done things different. And if I had done this different, or if I had done that different, may I tell you that the Lord has used things in your life to get you where you are right now. It doesn't mean that he approved of those things, but he used those things to get you where you are. And rather than looking at the past, listen, if you say you go back and I'll change this, if you changed anything in the past, it would change where you are right now. Amen? And so don't ever get the idea, number one, that you can ever go back and change anything, because you can't. That's just the devil trying to get you thinking about things other than what you should be thinking about. We shouldn't be thinking about that. The only thing the past is good for, folks, is to learn from it. That's it. You can't change it. And certainly, the present is pretty important, too, what you do today. Listen, if you're not saved, you know what you need to do? You need to be saved today. Today. But you know, the future is something that we need to visualize, too. Now, we can't see the future, but you certainly need to prepare for it. Again, if you're not saved, you know that Bible is very clear on what the futures of men will be. It's either going to be hell or it's going to be heaven. Amen? That's future. For everybody in this room, hell or heaven is your future, depending on whether you're saved or not. Might want to start thinking about the future. Might want to start looking ahead. Amen? And that's what we need to do. Far too many Christians today and people today are looking behind and when they should be looking ahead. Listen, that Bible says, where there is no vision, my people perish. We got to have a vision. We got to say, okay, we're going to plan for tomorrow. What do you think we're doing when we're training these children here? You know what we're doing? We're looking ahead. Looking down the road. And you say, well, how was David looking ahead? When he trained Solomon here, how was he looking ahead? Well, first he looked ahead by encouraging his son to do what David was unable to do. He encouraged his son to do what David was unable to do. Look if you would at verse 7. It said, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Now David, he poured all that he had learned about God and all that he had learned about life into his son Solomon, who would one day do something great for the Lord. And to this day, if you think about it, in the secular world, in the Christian world, and in the Jewish world, the temple is recognized as what? Solomon's temple. Amen? Now, I'm just going to give you a little hint here, a little bit of reality of truth. The temple wall that's over there right now is not Solomon's temple. Just letting you know that, okay? That's actually a part of what's called Herod's temple. Now, if you go back and read history, you'll find it out. But Solomon's temple was there at one time. And when people think of the temple, they think of Solomon's temple. You've never heard anybody ever say David's temple, have you? You say, well, it's Solomon. He built it. Yes, but who had the idea? Who saved all the nails and the rocks and all the stones and all those things? It was David. But God said, David, I'm not going to let you do it. So what David did is he drew the plans, he collected the materials, he came up with the whole idea, but today it's called Solomon's Temple. And you know why? Because David looked down the road and he said, I'm going to spend this year, this year, next year, the year after, and the year after that, preparing my son to do something for God that I could never do. Preparing my son to do something for the Lord that I could never accomplish. Now, today there are many Christians who have allowed things in their life in the past or have done things in the past that God has forgiven them for. But because of those certain things, God is just not able to use them the way that they would like to be used of the Lord. He can't use them because of some of the things they have done in the past. Because the Lord knows that if that thing ever came out, what they did in the past, it would ruin the work that they're trying to do for the Lord. But listen, folks, the Lord can use anybody to do His will, and God is using Christians all over to do many things. But some people have done things that have disqualified them from being, say, a pastor, disqualify them from being a missionary. And though God may not use those people the way He would have used them, He could use them still in a great way. And David here, listen, he wasn't considered a second-rate citizen by any means. He is still considered the greatest king that Israel's ever known to this day. And not only that, but David was still called a man after God's own heart. And any Christian today who's done things in the past that would make it impossible for them to serve the Lord the way that way that Christian wants to serve the Lord, rather than getting bitter about it, that Christian can still look ahead and teach children and teach our grandchildren and teach Sunday school kids and teach our teens to go farther for God and serve God farther and avoid doing those things that the Christian has done. And, or maybe you're here this morning and maybe you have not committed one of these sins in the past that would disqualify you. Maybe you're just like David in these verses. You notice how it said in these verses that he was up in years and that he was getting pretty close to dying. You know, maybe you're like David. Remember, there are some people in here, maybe in the same boat of David, where you're starting to get up in years. And you may say, well, you know what? There's a lot of things I would like to do for God today, but, you know, I'm this old and I just don't think I'll have time to do that. Okay, that's fine, but don't stop looking ahead. Listen, serve God the best that you can. If you say, I don't have time to go, I want to go into ministry, but I'm 80 years old. Well, hey, by the way, I'll tell you this. If God put it on your heart to get in ministry and 80 years old, you know what you need to do? Get in the ministry, okay? I'm just telling you. But what I am also saying too is if you say, well, I don't think I have time to do what I want to do for the Lord, well, don't just stop serving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord and look ahead and train somebody younger to do the things for the Lord, to do great things, not necessarily what you want to do, but just to serve the Lord in a great way. You know, there are a lot of people that get saved when they're older. And they look back and they say, you know, if I had just gotten saved younger, I could have done this and I could have done that. You can't go back and change that, folks. Listen, I never started serving the Lord until I was older. I regret every moment of it, but I can't change it. And you can't either. You can't change any of those things, but you can still serve God. And you can still train these young people to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so don't ever let the opportunity pass just because you're up in years. Because those young people, your sons, your daughters, your granddaughters, your grandsons, the kids in this church are young people. Those people are going to be the mothers and the fathers and the Sunday school teachers and the preachers and the missionaries of tomorrow. And if we don't have some Christians to start looking ahead, you know what's happened? You have less people in Sunday school today than you've ever had in this country. You know what happened right now in the mission field? If you don't believe me, call the missionaries and ask them. You know what you're seeing? Missionaries who've been in the field for a long time, they're getting aged, and they have to come out of the mission field, and there's no young missionaries replacing them. You know why? somebody's not looking ahead. Somebody is not seeing the importance of teaching our young folks. Can you imagine? I've often thought about this. I see those kids coming here off the bus, and I see people bringing their children in this church. And I'm looking at each one of them, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if that one right there is going to be a missionary. Now, we look at some of them and say, there ain't no way he's going to be a missionary. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know. We don't know. Hey, you should have seen me when I was the age of these kids. I'm telling you, these kids are a walk in the park compared to me. But you know what? The Lord was able to use me. The Lord is able to use you. He could use these kids. And you never know who you're training. You never know. We need people to be looking ahead, looking down the road and saying, listen, maybe I can't serve God the way I want to serve him, but there's a young people, I can sure train them. I could teach them things so that they can go and do great things for God. And that's what we see in this passage. That's what David was doing. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is this. Don't just be a good church member. Train your sons and your daughters to serve God. Train these young people in our church about the things in the Bible. And that way we're looking ahead. David wanted Solomon to do things for the Lord that David himself was unable to do. My question to you this morning is, do you have that kind of vision? I sure hope you do. When David was denied the opportunity to do what he wanted to do for the Lord, he didn't sulk, he didn't get bitter, he didn't quit serving God. He looked ahead and he saw an opportunity. He saw the opportunity to encourage his son to do what David was unable to do. But not only did David encourage his son to do what David was unable to do, David also looked ahead by training Solomon on what God wanted Solomon to do. Look if you would at verse 12. It says, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Now, David here is talking to his son Solomon, and he's telling Solomon that the Lord will give Solomon wisdom and understanding, and would even make Solomon king, but David stressed the importance of obeying the Lord. Now, according to verse 5, Solomon at this point was of a young and tender age. So David is talking to his son, a young boy, and so here even Solomon, as a little boy, David is training and teaching Solomon the importance of trusting and serving and obeying God. Here's what Proverbs chapter 22, 6 says. It says, and I know everybody's heard this verse before. It's probably one of the most misused verses I've ever seen people misuse in the Bible. Proverbs 22, 6. It says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what David was doing? He was training up Solomon the way he should go. That's exactly what he was doing. Now, he did that. He taught him about the Lord. He taught Solomon to obey the Lord on how the temple was built. And he stressed to Solomon that God deserved a permanent place to dwell. And David was looking ahead. And we should look ahead by training our young people in the way that they should go. Now, when you read that verse where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the way that verse is sometimes taught is that if you train up a child according to the way the Bible says you're to train up a child, then that child will get saved, and he'll never fall into sin, and that child will never get away from God. And if any of those things happen to your child, and if your children do not turn out right, then it's your fault. Now, that's the way it's taught in the Bible. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If you look at through that Bible, you know what you'll find? You'll find godly men, some of their children didn't turn out good. Amen? And I have known families, Christian families, who have raised their children right, and they just didn't turn out right. They didn't turn out right. They messed up in life. Some of them didn't get saved. Some of them didn't serve the Lord. And what I'm saying is this, you could train your children right from the time that they're born all the way to the time they move out, and there are no guarantees that they're going to live for the Lord. And you say, well, yeah, but it says right there, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, listen, today we know that there are lots of children that have departed from the faith and departed from the Lord, and they were raised right. The truth is, this doesn't mention anything about departing from the faith at all. When it says in this verse here, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's talking about departing from the things that the child has been taught. It's not talking about departing from the Lord. It says, train up a child. Listen what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go. Son, this is what you should do. Son, you shouldn't do that. And it says, when he's old, he will not depart from it. Never says he departed from God. God's not it. He says, when he gets old, he will not depart from it. What's it? The training that the child got that he in the way that he should go. That's what that verse is teaching. What that verse is teaching is this. If you train up a child in the way that he should go, when that child gets older, he moves out of the house, he gets out on his own. When there, no matter where he goes, no matter what he does, he's going to have in his mind the way he was taught. And then all of a sudden he chooses to get away from the Lord. He's not going to do that without saying, well, I didn't know any better. No, he's going to remember what he was taught. He's going to remember that. He can't get away from it because you train him the way he should go. He could be old. Listen, if I ask you right now, how many of you remember some of the things that your parents taught you? Can't get away from it, can you? Now, I'm not saying it was right or wrong. One of the things my dad taught me to do was to pick at my wife. He taught me well. Amen? Taught me well. I remember the things, but I will say this too. He also taught me to read my Bible. He also made a big deal about praying. My grandmother used to make a big deal about praying. You know what? I remember those things. I remember the things that the Sunday school teachers taught me when I was young. I could still see those flannel graphs in my mind as plain as yesterday. And I remember the things that they taught me. I can't get away from those things. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's what this verse teaches. And you and I as parents need to remember that when our children are grown, they have a will of their own, and as much as we would love to be able to make all the decisions for them, as much as we love them, as much as we'd love to see them get saved and serving the Lord and being faithful, they are the ones who have to make the decision on their own. You are the ones that are to train them up in the way they should go. But we can't make them do anything. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. So we are to train up our young people in the way that they should go. Now, do you believe the Bible this morning? Do you believe the Bible? Then you know the way your child should go. You know. Do you believe the world belongs to the devil today? I mean, when you watch the news and you see the wickedness going on in this world, is there any doubt in your mind that this world belongs to the devil? Then you know the way your child should go and the way your grandchildren should go. You know the way these kids here should go. And you need to start training these people while they're young. You shouldn't wait till they're grown and start teaching them the way they should go. You shouldn't wait till they're out of the house and married and then hand them a Bible and say, well, you know, this worked for me, that might work for you too. Why don't you give it a try? No, you need to start them when they're young. Teach about the Lord while they're young. You have to look ahead. You have to look down the road. And start teaching them the way they should go while they're young, while they're tender in age. And when they grow up, they'll never be able to rid themselves of those teachings. What a great advantage it is to have been taught at a young age what God expects from you. That's what David was doing with Solomon here, his son. He looked down the road. He encouraged his son to do what David was unable to do. David also looked ahead by training Solomon to do what God wanted Solomon to do. And finally, the third thing, David looked ahead by understanding the long-term goal. The goal that David had for Solomon was for Solomon to finally finish that temple one day. And David wanted that temple to be built, and he wanted to be exceeding magnificent, it says, of fame and of glory throughout all the countries. You see, David had a vision. David had a vision of this temple sitting on this hill with gold and the sun hitting it. And people being able to see it from miles away and saying, that's the temple of God right there. That's the temple of God. Look how magnificent. He must be a magnificent God. Look at the temple that he has. That's what David wanted. That was the goal the entire time. He wanted it to be built. And with all that lumber and the gold that was there and all the things that had been shipped in and all the work that had to be done, no doubt David was aware that to build that temple was going to be a daunting task. I mean, can you imagine the gold it took and the cedar it took and all these different things? You know, there would be disappointments along the way while this temple's being built. I mean, there would be days that when nothing would seem to go right. There would be days when things seemed to always go wrong. Wrong materials shipped. Things put in wrong places. But David knew that when Solomon was finally finished with that temple, that it was going to be on that hill shining in the sun. And that was his vision. That was his goal. That's what he was training Solomon. This is where we need you to be down the road, Solomon. This is what we want to be done down the road for the Lord. That's what he was teaching, that the God of heaven would one day be glorified. Now, hold your place here and turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He was looking down the road because he understood the long-term goal was that temple. He was telling his son Solomon, listen, Solomon, it's going to be tough along the way. I mean, there are going to be things that happen that you're not expecting. There's going to be supply shortages along the way. Some of those cedar trees are going to be hung up there at the port in California. And they're not going to get there on time. Things are going to just go wrong along the way while you're building it. But Solomon, we've got to keep on working because the long-term goal is to get that temple built. So God will be glorified. And turn there in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look if you would at verse 8. It says this. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now there is no doubt, if you have been teaching young people about the Lord, whether it be your children or your grandchildren, or the children of this church, or the teens of this church, I guarantee you that at times it's been hard. I guarantee you at times there's been disappointments. There are times where there have been setbacks where you've taught them, you know, the Lord doesn't like it when we do this, and the Lord doesn't like it when we do that. And all of a sudden you see them start doing those things after you've taught them and taught them and taught them. And you know, a lot of parents and a lot of Sunday school teachers, a lot of children's church teachers, a lot of teen teachers, they get discouraged. And they start to say, you know what, I've taught them better than that, but look how they're living. I've told them not to do this. I showed them what the Word of God says, but look what they're doing. And we get disappointed to the point where we want to quit. But that passage there says, better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. Parents have faced that. You know, they face the disappointments. Grandparents have faced the disappointments. Sunday school teachers have faced the disappointments. And just because you teach them the right way, and just because you teach them that they have an opportunity to do great things, Lord, doesn't mean they're going to choose to do those things. You say, Lord, what do? We pray for them and continue to teach them looking down the road. That's what we do. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Patient. Your children are going to mess up from time to time. Your grandchildren are going to mess up from time to time. These kids here, they're going to mess up from time to time. They're kids. Anybody here not mess up when they were a child? That's right. Don't you dare raise your hand. We all did. Some of us worse than our own kids. But listen, better, it says there, better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. You got to keep your goal. You got to keep your eyes on the goal, the finished product. We got to keep our eyes down the road. Listen, even though there's disappointments today, keep on training them. You don't know what's going to happen down the road. Amen? You don't know how they're going to turn out. Hey, listen, I guarantee you, Billy Sunday, he had problems when he was a kid. He had to be spanked when he was a kid. Billy Sunday. You say, well, that's horrible. Yeah, he's human. Charles Spurgeon had to be disciplined as a child. There were disappointments. Every great preacher that's ever been in America, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, all had problems and disappointments as they were growing up and being taught. Amen? But you know what? People kept on teaching them. People kept on telling them the Word of God. People didn't quit on them. They were focusing on the goal down the road. And I'll tell you this, I was raised in a godly home, and I had a godly mom, I had a godly dad, I had godly grandparents. I had a pastor who was a Bible-believing man of God who preached the bark off of trees. I'm telling you, he was a great preacher. And I had some of the best Sunday school teachers that, honestly, that I've ever met when I was young. And even though all those people poured their heart and teaching of the Bible in me and taught me to serve the Lord and showed me that there were opportunities to do great things for God in my life, I didn't do them. I didn't. I had every advantage from the time I was a little boy all the way up till I was 18 years old, going to a good church, good preacher, great parents, great grandparents. I mean, I had everything. I had things that other people just generally don't have. And when I turned 18 and I got on my own, I went nuts. I was probably the biggest disappointment to my parents and grandparents of any person that ever walked the face of the earth. I was probably a great disappointment to my preacher, to my Sunday school teachers. I got away from the Lord. But you know what? I never forgot what I was taught. Never forgot those things. I wasted many years of my life not serving the Lord. But one day, God got a hold of me. And he made it very clear that a man would do well to fear God. And I remember things that I had been taught as a young age. And I remember the Bible lessons that my Sunday school teachers had taught me. And I remember the times that my parents had encouraged me to live for the Lord. And I remember my grandmother telling me she was praying for me every single time I talked to her. And everything changed one day. And here I stand before you. The end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. Folks, I'm telling you, if you had seen me back in 1984, you'd be like, that guy is he's the worst heathen ever walked the face of the earth. You'd have never dreamed I was a Christian in a million years. But the end of the thing is better than the beginning thereof. Don't quit on our young people. Don't you quit training your children, your grandchildren about the Lord Jesus. You say, well, they're moved out. Call them up and tell them anyway. Keep on teaching them. Why? Because you're looking down the road. You don't know how the Lord's going to use that. You don't know how the Lord's going to use that child, that grandchild, one of these children here. You don't know. You're just preparing that child for down the road because you know what? God just might use that child in a mighty way. Wouldn't it be awesome if your children, your grandchildren, one of these children here were to all of a sudden be the next missionary to Croatia or next missionary to Africa or to a place in Africa? Wouldn't that be wonderful? What if everybody just quit on them the first time they disappointed them? No, we got to look down the road. Keep that vision down there. Look towards tomorrow because you just never know. You know what David did? David did not quit. When the Lord said, David, I'm not going to let you build this temple. Can't do it, David. David, you made war. Yes, Lord, but you told me to. Yes, Lord, but you gave me the strength to fight in those battles. Lord, you told me to wipe out those Philistines. You still got blood on your hands, David. I can't use you. He says, but I'll use your son. And David said, okay, fine. Solomon, come up here. Let me tell you what you need to do. Obey the Lord. He's going to tell you how to build this temple. Now you do exactly what he tells you to do. You put that ring exactly where he tells you to put that ring. How many of you know when you're reading late at night when it says the Lord said, put the rings here in a certain order. And they put the rings here in a certain order. And you're sitting there trying to read it in the middle of the night, and your eyes are going cross-eyed. That's what God was telling Solomon to do. And notice in the Bible how it says, and God said, and they did. And God said, and they did. And God said, and they did. You know what that's telling you? That Solomon, he obeyed every single detail that God gave him on that temple. Who do you think trained him to do that? Could it be a caring father who taught him the right way, the way he should go, and said, you obey the Lord. Now listen, if you continue to read about Solomon, you'll find out that in the end, he didn't turn out very well, did he? But you have other people that turned out really good in the end. And if you read through the book of Kings, you can find out tons of them. And what I'm saying is this, don't ever give up on any of your kids. No grandkids, don't give up on your grandkids, don't give up on your children, don't give up on these kids here, don't give up on any of them, on our young people. Why? Because the end thereof is better than the beginning. And you don't know what's down the road. You don't know if you're going to be training or teaching a young person on the way you should go. You don't know, maybe down the road he's going to be the next great evangelist. that'll win thousands to the Lord. You just don't know. So I'm just going to ask you this morning. Maybe you're one of those folks that are just getting later in life, and you say, I just don't have the time to do what I'd like to do for the Lord. And maybe you've just quit, and maybe you're just coming to church, being a good church member, sitting in the pew, sitting on a chair and not doing anything for the Lord. Don't do that. There's still work to be done. We need to look down the road. We need to have people of vision. There's opportunities all over the place. You know, one of the things I saw Larry Baum walking here a while ago with a walkie-talkie on. You know what that means? That means he's volunteering out here just to walk the halls, just to keep these kids to where they're in the class they need to be. We need that. Amen? Now, by the way, that's a plug. If you like to wear a really cool walkie-talkie, all you got to do is volunteer to be hall monitor. Amen? I even give you a little sign that says hall monitor on there if you want. Okay? But what I'm saying is this. There are opportunities all over this church to serve. You have opportunities when you go home to contact your children and your grandchildren and make an impact and tell them and teach them the way they should go and continue to teach them with a goal in mind. Let me tell you this, and I'll close. My goal for my children and my grandchildren, if my son would ever give me one, my goal is for them, number one, to get saved. Now, I can't control that, but I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that they know how to be saved. And my goal is for them, when they get older, to serve the Lord faithfully. I know there are going to be disappointments along the way. I know there are going to be times when my children, when I say to myself, what are they thinking? I taught them better than this. What are they doing? But you know what? My long-term goal is for me to see them serving the Lord one day. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to continue to teach them the way they should go. When they do something wrong, I'm going to say, you know what? The Lord says that that's not right. When I finally get grandchildren, I'll say, you know what? You need to serve the Lord. You need to obey the Lord. You need to do what the Lord tells you to do. You need to fear God because you just never know. And my goal is I want them to be saved and serving the Lord. That's your goal too. Amen? That should be our goal, not just for our children, but for these other people's children too. Let me ask you tonight or this morning, do you have a vision? Are you looking ahead when it comes to young people? Are you looking down the road, or are you only looking at today? Remember this, one of these days, all of us middle-aged people, one of these days we're all going to be gone, and these young people you see walking around there, that's tomorrow's Christians. That's tomorrow's preachers. That's the ones who probably 50, 60 years from now, they're going to be sitting in this room just like you are. And I wonder how many of them are actually going to be here because somebody took the time to teach them the way they should go. Because somebody had a vision to look down the road. What's your vision this morning? Let's stand.